It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Monster Monday. A little different format today because as you listen to this, I am in Disney World with my daughters, hopefully enjoying myself and not sweating too badly in the heat. You need to take the vacation every once in a while, but it'll be a different format. So there won't be any current events, Tucks takes, but I think you're really going to enjoy the two interviews we have for you today. We are presented today by flowers.com. It is crunch time now, fellas, as it relates to Mother's Day. No time to waste. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com like I do for my mother-in-law, my mom, both of my wife's grandmothers. You get 24 roses for $24. It is that simple. Only a dollar per rose. Simply pick your delivery date and let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. If you've procrastinated to this point, there is no more procrastination to be had. Order 24 stunning multicolored roses for only $24 now. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter code football. Again, that's 1-800-Flowers.com, code football. Like I always say, if all you do to contribute to the podcast is get flowers for your mom or wife on Valentine's or Mother's Day, then you are doing your part. 1-800-Flowers.com, enter code football. We're not going to really do a spread the word social media or sponsor confirmation. You can send them, but I'm not going to announce any winners until next week. Instead, we will go to the big show, which is Richard Deitch, who handles television, sports media, really all sports media for Sports Illustrated. We talk with him about NFL ratings after some of the information came out on my radio show. It was myself and Bob Papa. And it's interesting. Some of the stuff even has changed since we did the interview a couple months ago. Some of the stuff's even changed in terms of the games over in London and when the time slots are. I listened back to it. A lot of interesting information from Richard. I'm curious to see what you guys agree or disagree with. He is today's big show.
The big show.
Richard, Bob Papa, Ross Tucker, thanks for a couple minutes this morning. How are you?
You good? Oh, good. Always good to be on with a couple of A-listers.
There you go.
You say that to all the shows you're on.
Richard, always good to talk with you, man. I feel like it's been too long, but I was thinking of you this week because there were a couple different Pro Football Talk blog posts in which they talked about NFL ratings. One, I guess, was from Sports Business Journal and Fox Sports, which talked about the impact of the election on NFL viewership, as well as the fact that a record 203 million Americans watched NFL games, but the averages per game were down. And Fox's suggestion was that there's just too many windows out there. And then I saw where later on in the week they posted that Les Moonves, the CBS chairman, feels like the biggest issue is speeding the game up and potentially reducing the number of commercial breaks. So NFL TV ratings in the news this week, and we know you're always on top of it. I guess my first question would be just in general, how serious is the NFL taking this? Like, how big of a concern is the ratings right now, or are they still thinking it's mainly because of the election?
That's a good question. I think if you're in the NFL, you have to take it serious. If you want my sort of personal opinion, and that, you know, counts as much as anybody else's, I do subscribe to the idea that the election, the political climate, and the divisiveness in the country caused so much interest in this particular election and in the post-election that you did see people, particularly casual NFL viewers, morph over to cable television. And I think it doesn't really take much for, at least in terms of how we have our rating system now, for many people to morph over in game windows for there to be a decline in ratings. That said, the NFL has to take this seriously, because we are in an age now where there are far more cord cutters than ever before, so just less people watching cable, and the habits of 20-somethings have changed, and they're not, as a general rule, a group that sits around and watches conventional television for 3 hours. So you do need to figure out ways, I think, to shorten up the game. If I had to guess, Ross and Bob, I would honestly guess the ratings will be up next year early, and I think the NFL in their, you know, public relations will push that. If you remember the beginning of the year, Peyton Manning left, Tom Brady was out, Cam Newton got off to a pretty slow start, Tony Romo was out. The game is sold by quarterback, and in Manning's case in particular, that's 10 national windows where he's not playing, where you now have another team playing, national windows meaning any game that any of us can watch, and that's inevitably going to be a lower-rated game. So I think the NFL came across a lot of things that hit them early in the year, from a lack of quarterbacks to really not very many great games early, to the fact that we had this once-in-a-generation election where you had a reality star who was causing news on a daily basis. I think you combined all those forces as well as the market forces with younger people watching differently, and that's where you saw your decline.
Richard, I brought this up during the season to a couple of high-ranking NFL officials, and I asked the question, you know, how are you guys counting the red zone? I mean, that's got to affect each network's rating when you're bouncing back from show to show, team to team, game to game. I can watch a game on Thursday night on Twitter, which I have. There's so many other ways to consume it that, you know, if the Giants are playing on a Monday night or Sunday night and I'm home, I'll put the NFL Mix channel on, which has all the game, you know, 6 games on my screen or 8 games on my screen at once, and then I'll highlight the one I just want to go to through DirecTV. You know, I ask, what's the mechanism to manage that? What's the mechanism for the rating point when I'm watching the game streamed on my phone? And they didn't have a real tangible answer as to how they can actually count all of those viewers and then attribute it to a network for a rating.
It's a very good point, Bob. They do give you or provide, it's not public, but, you know, you can find out what the red zone channel or channels do. And it's the number is never as big as you think. It's, you know, usually like a touch over a million on Sunday. That always strikes me as being a little bit low. Again, sports television ratings are just never going to be 100% accurate, because there has not been a good measuring stick to measure what they call out-of-market viewers, meaning if you're not at home watching at a bar, watching at a restaurant, watching at an airport, you know, watching in a place that's not your home, those people have never been registered. And I think the same issue applies for, like, red zone-like viewing, is I don't think we have a great calculation as to how many people watch games, not fluidly, but sort of like, you know, you do. You go to DirecTV and you want to just pop on, somebody who's in a scoring zone, or like the red zone channel, obviously any team that's in the quote-unquote red zone. I think a lot of people, particularly younger viewers, particularly those who are really into fantasy, that's how they watch. If you want another, this is sort of just, this is something I've been thinking about all last year, and I think would have an impact on the ratings, and it's just anecdotal. But it feels like the fervor for fantasy football ebbed a little bit in terms of growth. I'm not saying people don't play. Obviously, millions play. But 3 or 4 years ago, there just seemed to be story after story of new people getting into fantasy football, particularly women at that time. And it feels like that's ebbed a little bit. And so much of, I think, what drives the NFL is an interest in fantasy and an interest in gambling. You take the gambling aspect, DraftKings, FanDuel, far reduced commercials, obviously, last year than the year before. So at least it feels like anecdotally, two other factors for this, Bob and Ross, I think, are kind of a flatlining of new people into the market for fantasy football, and maybe, not that gambling has gone down, but maybe less of a fervor for daily gambling because of FanDuel and DraftKings kind of blowing up their ad budget.
Richard, the other thing I wanted to ask you specifically is the two things that Fox talked about and then that CBS talked about. I guess Let's start first one with the Fox saying that there's too many windows, and yes, 203 million people might have watched, but they're spread too thin, and too many people now are choosing not to watch certain games. And I know the NFL is doing away, I guess, with the early morning London games. I don't really understand that. I'm not a fan. I like that there's a game on at 9:30, and I can choose whether or not I want to watch it. I like that there's a lot of windows because it gives me the opportunity as the consumer to decide whether or not I'm going to watch it and how much I'm going to watch it. It seems a little counterintuitive to pull back on the windows to hope that that helps the average television rating.
Well, Ross, you're clearly a glutton for the Jacksonville Jaguars and other I understand what Fox is. Personally, I think there are too many windows. That said, it doesn't matter. The NFL is not going to – those who start talking about the NFL is going to pull back on Thursday Night Football, like conversations like that are insane. You don't reduce windows or reduce the ability to make $500 million from places that are going to pay you from this. But I do think there comes – at least – in my opinion, I think there comes a point where there's too many national windows and not enough compelling matchups or compelling teams to support those national windows to get ratings that they used to get. Now, again, though, Ross, you know, to sort of amplify how you think about it, you do got to step back and realize even if the 9:30 a.m. window doesn't do anything like the 4:30 Sunday window, they're still drawing 7-8 million people for that football game. I mean, those are ratings that the NHL, you know, Major League Baseball, non-Cubs, college basketball, college football, non-bowl games would kill for. So there's still a mass audience watching this, but I do subscribe to those who say that I don't think you have enough star power to fit into all these windows to get, you know, incredibly great compelling matchups, maybe with the one caveat that late in the season, because so much is on the line, then I think you could probably get away with it. Because I think, you know, let's say after week 12, week 13, you can almost argue that every game, at least with playoff implications, has significant meaning nationally.
You know, it's interesting too, because the Thursday night, they've made it so that they're using Thursday night as a chance for every team to now play in a standalone game, because
right,
with certain teams, you're just not going to put on Sunday Night Football. You're not putting them on Monday Night Football. You're not going to be ever flexed to their game. Is that something that they may revisit moving forward to help prop up the Thursday night rating? I mean, as opposed to putting on a game between two teams that you know probably are not going to be any good.
I would. I would actually figure out ways to make that Thursday night game more compelling. You know, I thought their initial thought about let's get divisional rivalries was pretty smart. But again, so much of that will have to do with how those particular teams, you know, like if the beginning of the year you think the Jets will be good, you do Jets-Pats, you're thinking, all right, that's going to be a cool game. New York market, a lot of people interested there. The Patriots are always a great television team. And then if the Jets just totally stink, that's a dog game. So, you know, you can never sort – you sometimes you just don't get lucky with the schedule. But Bob, I'm with you. I think you have to figure out interesting ways to make that Thursday night football game feel bigger. If you talk to anyone at ESPN, and I'm not going to say this publicly, but they know it to be true. They pay so much money for their NFL package, and too often Monday night football doesn't feel big. And that sometimes is the problem with Thursday night football. It just feels like an afterthought. And it's, as Ross could attest to as a former player, I think you're already putting so much pressure on these guys for such a short turnaround in terms of just rest and recovery. So you have to do something, I think, to make that Thursday night game more compelling. And maybe, you know, maybe it's to put a matchup that we would normally see on Sunday Night Football on Thursday night, or a great 4:30 p.m. matchup on Thursday. And yeah, you know, NBC may not be particularly happy if their game is not as great as that Thursday night game, but I think you have to do something to make that broadcast feel a little bit bigger. It feels big to a sense because it's in prime time, and obviously CBS and NBC put their A talent on there. Maybe, you know, my own personal preference is Deion Sanders isn't an A or a G talent, but whatever. They're putting people on there who they think will draw audience. But I think you got to figure out a way to make that game more compelling, and maybe the way to do it is to do matchups that you might normally see on Sunday night.
Last one for me, Richard. What about what Les Moonves said about speeding up the game, reducing the number of commercial breaks? He talked about advertising in different ways that are equally beneficial, but not as many breaks. What do you think that that could end up being, and do you think that that could have a big impact?
I saw that. One of the great things, Ross, about that, when you read about television presence or television CEOs talking to the NFL, and then these stories like television networks have such leverage. They pay the NFL, you know, billions and millions of dollars. And it's always is the case. The NFL always has the leverage. Because the NFL, if they ever wanted to, could certainly go to another entity, you know, whether it would be Amazon or Netflix or some other network. So that always amuses me that, you know, in the end, Les Moonves certainly has some power, but Roger Goodell and the owners always hold the trump card. I like the idea, Ross, of doing what they do a lot of times in Europe or on soccer broadcasts, where you do a split screen, where the advertisement is on the left and the game is the live game is on the right, or if you do it where it's sort of creatively done, and again, this happens in soccer a lot, where you frame the screen where the advertisement is going all around the screen and we still get live play. Again, for the networks, they'll have to figure out, can they still recoup the same amount of dollars? Do the advertisers want to do that? But, you know, you have a lot of creative people in advertising and television. And if you could figure out a way to make something visually cool or something really interesting, I like the idea of having the live game on the screen and the commercial appearing on the screen. And I think, and again, you guys would know better than me because you talk to far more NFL fans than I do. I don't think NFL fans would mind at all sitting through 30 seconds or a minute of no announcers talking and the commercial playing in terms of the volume or the sound, as long as you get the live game. I mean, you're talking to your friends, you're checking your second screen or your phone anyway. So I don't think the viewers would be upset at all by the commercial playing as long as you have the game, the live game to the right or the left or wherever it is on the screen. To me, that would be the solution. That would save some time. You don't have to go to a break. The other thing, too, I like, Ross and Bob, is, and this speaks to Bob for sure because he does games, obviously, is I like when the announcers tell me, we'll be back in 30 seconds, we'll be back in 45 seconds. They did that this year. I thought that was cool because at least psychologically that gets you thinking, all right, the break is not going to be as long as I think it is, or at least psychologically you're like, okay, I know I got 60 seconds to go to the bathroom.
The old Howard Cosell, I'll be back in 60 seconds. Exactly. Richard, we appreciate a couple minutes. You can follow him on Twitter at Richard Deitch. We appreciate the time and great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys.
And before we get to the added value, which you are going to really love with my buddy Frank Wycheck, he came public. He went public with his CTE and had a chance to talk to Frank about his decision to let people know about his CTE that you are absolutely going to want to listen to. First, though, I got to tell you about my dudes over at Casper. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, it is the best mattress money can buy, and it's money very, very well spent. They have incredible, obsessively engineered mattresses at, if you look compared to like what it would cost if you went in the store, a crazy fair price. I mean, just go check for yourself. Trust me. You get, plus with us, you get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Tucker and using the promo code Tucker. Again, www.casper.com/Tucker. Use the promo code Tucker to get Casper, which you can try for 100 nights risk-free. Free delivery, free pickup. Look, everybody I know, it seems like, now has one of these things and loves it. Go to www.casper.com/Tucker and use promo code Tucker. Frank Wycheck, added value time, the former Titans tight end H-back.
Added value.
Frank, it's Ross Tucker and Greg McElroy. You know, I saw where you said recently, Frank, that you feel like you're suffering from CTE, and it got a lot of attention. Was that the first time you had ever said that publicly, Frank?
Yeah, I think I have, because, you know, I just, I've always felt it inside and didn't feel like that I needed to share it and go into the details of it, Ross. And but for some reason with this interview, I didn't really know where it was going. And this woman asked me about it. And for some reason, I just got caught up in the moment and just really laid it out there and just about my personal, you know, day-to-day life and what I go through and what I worry about. And it got really personal. And, yeah, I guess I decided to do that. And I think when I look back on it, I think that was so cathartic for me because I've always kept that inside and never wanted to, you know, because I was working on radio or doing the games that I didn't have the ability to if I admitted those things.
Obviously, it's a sensitive thing, and football has given all of us so much, and we have such an appreciation for the gifts that it's provided and the lifestyle it's provided. But it's not without its dangers, and we certainly understand that. That's part of the reason why we appreciate it as much as we do. If you can fill our listeners in that haven't had a chance to listen to you before or haven't had a chance to read the articles, if you can fill our listeners in as to what you've been struggling with, that might enlighten them to some of the difficulties of having played in the NFL for as long as you were able to.
Well, I just think we all talk about it. You know, I've talked to Ross about it a lot. It's just that, you know, when you're done playing, you're in search for another passion that you've been, you know, you've been working for your whole life, made it to the NFL, and all of a sudden that's cut off. So that kind of begins the struggle. But then I think, you know, when I look back on my career as a whole since I was 5 years old, just how many hits I've actually taken head on and collisions and dings and flashes and not remembering three or four plays at a clip. And I just started thinking about that. And now with all the studies that's coming on now, I just read a lot about it. I try to educate myself on it and what's really going on. And I just go through the depression that, you know, leads to other things, the social anxiety. It's like I can't walk out a door without a brick wall going up to stop me. And I said, what's going on here? I should be out there playing golf, but it just stops me from going. And then I've lost a lot of relationships to that, Craig and Greg and I've, you know, disappointed a lot of people in my life because I would commit to things and then bail on it at the last minute because of my kind of social fears.
Talking with Frank Wycheck, long time tight end for the Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans. This is, I think, Frank, especially since you are in the media, you have a radio show, you are the voice of the Tennessee Titans. This is probably really helpful to a lot of guys out there that you're going public with it. And I'm sure, you know, it doesn't sound like that was your reasoning or your logic, but have you heard from other guys that said, you know, Frank, just having someone that has sort of a public persona and is in a public position like you talk about it, you know, just makes me feel a lot better and meant a lot.
You're exactly right, Ross. I don't know if I said it in the first interview, but I did an interview on ESPN.com about it, and I just didn't want it to come across as being a pity party for me and, oh, woe is me, you know, Frank, you know, everyone pay attention to Frank now because he's hurt. I mean, that totally wasn't what I was trying to get across. I think subconsciously I was letting it out, like you were, you know, all your feelings that you've held back inside. And to answer your question specifically, I've talked to a lot of people, former players over the years, and they're all feeling the same way. And I've heard from a ton of people fans, and especially former players, some current players have reached out and just basically said what you said is that, you know thanks for having kind of the guts to step out there and speak on it, because I think that that kind of helps the other guys with it, and maybe they don't have to hold it in anymore.
Having dealt with things that you're dealing with right now and the fact that you're openly speaking about it, I think is very, very powerful stuff and beneficial to a lot of people that are just trying to become educated with what's going on and the repercussions of playing sports. And I think that's something to be commended on. I'm curious, though, I know you have two daughters, but if you had a son, how would you approach him playing the game, and how would you teach him about the game to make sure that he enjoyed it and got as much out of it as you would, but hopefully didn't have some of the same repercussions that you're currently dealing with?
Which is weird. I can't remember what I had for dinner last night, but I can remember when I was 5 years old being a running back and getting hit on the side of the head and having this flash bang. And I can remember that vividly. And I played since I was 5 years old all the way through when I retired at 33. So if I had sons, and I just think I just formed the opinion that I would not let my sons play football until they're like 12 or 13 years old. I let them play flag football. The bigger kids could play flag. They get them exercise. You can run around and do some things. You don't have to be the burly lineman all the time and put on weight and all that stuff. It's just you could be more of an athletic guy until you get to that point where you can put the pads on. And then obviously, hopefully, with all this USA football and everything, and the better coaches with the better techniques, can really you can really teach the kids better techniques so they don't hurt themselves.
Talking with Frank Wycheck, longtime NFL tight end for the Oilers and Titans. He's color commentator on the Tennessee Titans radio network. Frank, I'm curious, how much of your issues do you think are the concussions that you suffered versus just repetitive hits to the head?
I think they're both equal, to be honest with you. I think every little, like when you're first offensive line, real drill, what do you hit? Hat and hands, right? And first, so that's what I was the least taught, hat and hands. So you hit your face, and then you get your footwork down, and then throw your hands into the chest. So even that is a minor concussion. I mean, it might not be the big, defenseless receiver getting popped over the middle, but a fullback going through the line running lead draw, that's a mini concussion. So you could, and that's what I said in the article, I don't know if you noticed, is I added it up on average over the years, that from 5 years old up until I was done playing at 33, that on average, give or take, that I had 297,000 hits to the head in my football career. And so that kind of was like scary in itself, but I just think it's a progressive thing. It just, it gets worse every year. And then you just got to find the right the support group around you to point you in the right direction. And because if you don't, you're just going to go down, you're going to be in the black hole. And I was in the black hole for about 5 years. I gained weight, didn't feel like doing anything. I felt worthless, no answers, nowhere to go. And I look back on that and it really upsets me, because there's a lot of good I could have done in that period of time.
Finishing up with me on a positive note, the Tennessee Titans, who you are the voice of and spend a lot of time covering, there is so much
excitement. I thought I was covering the Bengals. I didn't know.
Well, I can tell you this. The glass is certainly half full, when it comes to the outlook for the Tennessee Titans moving forward. They have a quarterback. They have some studs. They have a dynamic running back. The offensive line's improved. The defense is solid. What can we expect from the Titans in the next couple months in free agency and the draft, and then, of course, as they head into the 2017 season?
Well, you got to remember GM John Robinson is a Patriots guy. He spent 12 years with the Patriots organization, so you have to think that there's a lot of, you know, success, and the way they do things is a lot of what he has taken with him from there. So I don't see him in free agency going over the top and spending huge money on anybody, even if it's a great need, unless they, you know, they love the kid. He's a team first guy, but I just don't see that happening. He does it in his own way. But he'll bring in the right guys and to compete. Obviously, their needs are in the secondary and at wide receiver. I mean, that's first and foremost. Maybe some depth at linebacker, but yeah, you're right. This team is on the up and up. It's a shame that Marcus got hurt at the end of the year,
yeah.
And it's probably not going to be till training camp until he takes his first snaps.
Frank, last one for me, because I get an email or two now every day about the concussion lawsuit being settled and, you know, go to this place to get your evaluation or whatever. What is your understanding of what the next steps are? And I guess what are the next steps for you having some symptoms? And I don't have any symptoms yet, so I don't know if you're knowledgeable enough about it where you know whether or not it even makes sense for me to get evaluated if I don't really have any symptoms.
Well, you can have symptoms of depression, Ross. You could have, social anxiety, as I explained. There's a lot of things even still guys have some sort of post-concussion syndrome years later where, you know, sensitivity to light, lethargic, wanting to be in a dark room, the whole deal. But the lawsuit is kind of comical in itself because, you know, if you really want to cover players, you don't give out $678 million. You need like $2.5 billion if you're going to cover the right guys. But, when I get back from California, I'm going to go and get the whole car wash of every test that I could take. But ultimately it is for you guys to understand and your listeners is that you have to have be diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's, or ALS, or else you don't get a penny. So a guy like me suffering through all I suffer every day, and a lot of former players that I talk to, we all have the same conversation, same issues. None of those guys are going to be covered under this concussion lawsuit unless you're like full-fledged dementia, ALS, or Alzheimer's. And so it's a waste.
Wow. Yeah, we've talked about that before. That's crazy. Well, Frank, we really appreciate you coming on the show, and we're really glad that you said what you said publicly, and that if it was cathartic for you, man, that's awesome. Let's talk soon down the line. Thanks so much for coming aboard.
Thank you, and I appreciate you having McElroy on, man. That's royalty. That was
there you go.
That hardly the case.
See you guys. Thank you very much.
That'll do it, Bri, for a Monster Monday. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Two different interviews with two very different things. Obviously, talking with Richard Deitch about ratings, and then Frank Wycheck, my buddy, was on with myself and Greg McElroy talking about his decision to go public with CTE. Really appreciate both those guys' time. Hope you guys enjoyed the interview. I know you enjoy anytime you get Sherry's Berries, whether that is for your family or for your wife, whoever. It is coming down to the end here of Mother's Day season. You don't have any time to waste. go to berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and use my code Ross. That's berries.com and use code Ross when you click on the mic. This amazing deal will not last. Mother's Day is Sunday, fellas. Don't blow this. It's the only way to get this amazing berries deal starting at just $19.99 plus shipping is to visit berries.com. They're gigantic. Get them for your own wife because she will let you have a couple of them. So it's like you're getting credit for giving her an awesome gift, but you're also giving yourself a gift as well. It is so money, it's not even funny. Speaking of money, we went big time in depth with my buddy Andrew Brandt for Thursday's show. We went back to his upbringing, his whole life story. I know a lot of you are big Andrew Brandt fans. Well, you're going to like hearing essentially his life story on Thursday. Only doing two RTFPs this week because I'm in Disney. We're also going to get to several of your emails on Thursday as well. But for today, spread the word. I appreciate it. iTunes rankings, comments, download on multiple devices. I haven't told you guys that in a while. Download for Disney. Download on multiple devices so I can actually pay for another Disney trip in a few years for my daughters, maybe, if they want to go again. Download for Disney twice. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.